the heart of Los Angeles, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We have tonight's guest, naturopathic energy healer, radio host, and frequency master, Kimberly McGeorge.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, Alan Savory. I am Mark Legere, and now our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
3 people today each told me something profound that really struck me. And I not only wanted to think about it and remember it, I wanted to share it with you all. And happily, one of those people is our interview guest, Kimberly McGeorge. And I look forward to her sharing what she said to me and all the other things she shared, as a matter of fact, in just a few minutes. One of the other things, one of the three, was also our performance guest, Alan Savory. And you'll be hearing all he has to say, including, I'm sure, that statement, which will catch you later on in the show. But the one that you won't hear on the show unless I share with you is this. This is October 2024. For those of you who will be listening to it years from now, it's been quite a year, and it's been quite an October with lots of weather. And I happen to have friends and family, or family who has friends, that live in parts of the world and parts of America that have been hit very, very hard so far this month by hurricanes. And there's another hurricane expected in a day or two that's expected to hit another part of the United States, where I also have friends and family. And so as I was talking with many people, texting, emails, and on the phone, supporting where I can, how I can, I was speaking to one very special person, and on the phone, I guess I was getting a little excited, maybe even frustrated, as I was trying to work this out in my head and trying to figure out ways to support. And this person said to me, Filippo, remember, we create our weather too. And what she was referring to is that the weather we create within our hearts, or within our minds, or within our family, and the conversations that we have, that is, we can look at that as weather too. Are we creating hurricanes? Are we creating calm weather? And so she was wanting to remind me that the weather may be what it is, and we will do what we can to support whomever we can. And let's remember to make sure that the weather that we're have control over, let's say, that's let's decide what we want to do, what we want that weather to look like. And so I took that. I thanked her for her wisdom, and I had to agree with her. And little did I know, I was to receive and hear and experience and now get to share even more great wisdom today. So I can't wait to bring the wisdom speakers of the day onto the show.
Well, whether you know it or not, you took the butterfly effect to a whole different level. But then maybe that'll be for another show.
Oh yeah. Now, okay. Now I have to think about that one too. Thank you, Mark. So, thankfully we have lots to think about, lots to talk about. And our episode tonight is called Where Are Your Obstacles and Blocks Really Coming From? That's so funny, because I said we are. This is our episode 810, And our interview guest is Frequency Master, naturopathic energy healer, and syndicated radio show host, Kimberly McGeorge. Welcome, Kimberly, to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you so much.
It's such a pleasure to have you on, and I so enjoyed our conversation, and you stumped me at one point. Do you remember? I just stopped in my tracks, and I said, whoa, okay, so this is going to be fun, I thought. So before we get there, we're going to be talking about blockages, and we're going to be talking about obstacles, and so much of what we're talking about is energy related, frequency related, right?
Yes. And I would say technology related too, to some extent.
Yes, indeed. Actually, with what you've done with it, absolutely. And so where does that conversation start as far as people who might not be aware that, kind of like the weather in our minds, what frequencies we're putting out or what frequencies we're receiving or other people are perceiving?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I just don't think it's common knowledge, even in consciousness, that all information is available now because there is no time and space. All time is now. And so we're programmed from a very young age that everything's a mystery. Like you cannot know, you know, like my parents brought me up and they said, only God, you know, knows what you're thinking. Well, you know, now I know that's absolutely 100% not true because there's a million different types of technology that can read what you're thinking and actually do. So people think on social media when they go on and they're like, oh, I was just talking about dog food to my sister on the phone. They must be listening to our conversations. And then the dog food, you know, ads pop up. Well, yeah, that's old tech. They don't need that. Like they already know you have dogs. They're already going to bring that up. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like they know everything about us. Like that's one of my, you know, I always say I'm not AI or technology's lawyer, but I kind of feel like it, or maybe promotion person or publicity agent, because I just want to kind of bash my head on the wall because all this tech that works against us, I've kind of flipped it, you know, the inverse of the inverse. And, you know, I use it to hack their tech to make our lives better. So it's kind of, you know, but that's just a little taste. So all information can be known and it can't just be known from technology because after all, who created technology? Who created AI? In my opinion, we did what I call fire creation beings or eternal soul beings. We created this. So we always act like AI is something like separate from us. It's really an extension, in my opinion, of us, you know, and I think we should work with it instead of work against it. And so it frustrates me that the general public doesn't understand. I mean, they do to some extent, you know, they know the MRIs, they know the CAT scans, they understand the ultrasounds, or think they do, but they don't understand that this is the exact same technology. I just apply it very, very broadly, and they apply it very, very narrowly. And we have tons of other technology that nobody knows about, but anyway, we'll get there someday.
Oh, as soon as you said that, the technology that's focused on the brain waves in a certain way, you're using it to focus on areas of our life that we think are either esoteric or by chance, like we meet the love of our life by chance kind of thing, or we stumble right upon a job by chance, but it could have been in the frequencies.
Well, again, all time is now. So we can look at, you know, and of course, there's millions of timelines happening, talking about the butterfly effect. You know, one, you know, it's a choose your own adventure game. So we go left and that changes, you know, every single choice after that. We go right, that it changes that timeline. We have, you know, an apple for breakfast instead of an orange, you know, on and on. So, you know, everything matters here. Nothing matters. I believe it's a game. And I actually don't really love that idea of fate unfolding before us. I really like to back it up and just be like, forget all that. I'm going to kind of like you were talking about the weather. I'm going to take control of my life. I'm going to create what I want instead of responding. So there's a lot to talk about here. But technology can be very helpful because it can read on the path that you're going, kind of your optimal choices. That's how we get like the soulmate thing. Like we can see if you keep going kind of in the direction you're going and making the general decisions you usually make every day, you know, this is what's going to happen.
Which is the good news and the bad news, or the bad news and the good news.
Yeah, but it's so much, it's really crazy because, you know, Western medicine, although they're getting better, tends to ignore all the programming, all the belief systems, all the multiple concurrent incarnations that I believe we're in that affect us. And if you want to talk about technology, we can go super woo-woo. You know, all the clones. How many clones do you have? How is that? You know, my family gets a paycheck for human cloning and transfer of human consciousness. You know, we've been there for years and years and years. I believe we've always been there. You know, I think there was cloning in Egypt. You know, so all these lies, we've just been lied to so much about the technology available, because I think people would be really, really angry if they knew that they could get on a, you know, plane in Paris and go to LA in 5 minutes. I think that would make them annoyed, but we can. We're just not allowed to have that technology. I mean, that technology is used by the elite right now, you know.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't know? Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
I just assumed because, you know, this is my life. Like, I breathe technology, so this is old hat to me. Sorry.
So if someone didn't tell you that, or if you didn't have proof of that, you're saying that you also could read that in the technology or the frequencies or something?
Well, again, all information can be known. So I can just tap, you know, the information and I can say, is that true or not? And I can also remote view and see if it's true or not, but with my own abilities. However, my ex works for Homeland and he's been on the plane, so I know that is true.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's have this conversation
Sorry, I
another
know this
time.
was going a different direction. Sorry.
I said before where you stumped me on some of the things that you shared. So can we all tap into what you're tapping into without the technology?
Yes. Now,
Yes,
what
but
I guess then the question would be the but. What's the but? So to me, the but is, are you alone in your body? Are you alone in your energy field? What attachments do you have? What cordings do you have? What mind control do you have? Do you have a silent mind? I found that very, very key as I've matured and sharpened my abilities. And not talking about technology, talking about my abilities. I found one of the biggest keys is having that silent mind and clearing and being alone in my body, so that I have the potency, you know, of my own being to activate those abilities, and they're not being dampened or suppressed by outside technology or outside agencies. And if it is, I can address it and take care of it, you know, and then go on.
and
So we all
obviously
have the capability, but
belief
oh
systems.
yeah, belief systems too. Absolutely, belief systems. Those are, and I believe that as soon as we open our little baby eyes, we're being told what we can't do, not what we can do.
I also feel like it could be scary to know, and some people don't want to know. No.
I'm a big believer in, I agree, and that's a very common viewpoint. I'm a big believer in knowledge is power. Like, you know, some people don't want to see through the dimensions like I do and see what's walking through their house and see what's on the ceiling in their bedroom and see what, oh, you want to
Nice.
see a horrifying thing. You know, try to see what, you know, go in a hotel room. I always have to clear the hotel rooms, like the energies in hotel rooms, the things in the corners, the things dripping down the walls. Like, it's horrible. You guys are worried about, like, you know, people do like that light, the black light, and they're looking for
Yeah.
like germs. I'm worried about like the spiritual and the energetic stuff,
Wow.
you know, in the hotel rooms. But
Wow, when I
yeah.
asked you if we could go anywhere, you took it to task. You're going, and I'm sure actually there's so many more places you could go once you start opening up these possibilities. So the blockages that we have, like you tapped into some of it, but the obstacles and the blockages, if the question is where are your obstacles and blockages really coming from, then it's not just we didn't set a goal today, or we didn't. It's not
Oh
just,
no.
okay.
No, it's like I said, I think it's I mean, I know it's from experience, I know it's multifaceted. I mean, it can be as simple as family programming. You can grow up in a religious family where those gifts, you know, seeing through the dimensions, you know, I used to be called child of Satan. So, I mean, that's a blockage, I think, you know, to sharpening and siphoning and using actively your abilities. You know, I didn't enjoy being exercised. My gifts never went away, which was actually very comforting, for me when I was under religion, because, I'm like, well, they must be from God then if they never went away, no matter how many times you try to perform exorcisms on me. So we have a lot of old-fashioned beliefs still. I think they're clearing, but that's not it. So you can say, okay, I believe I'm psychic. Now what? But that's not how it works. Again, most people I know, and the Eastern practices are really great at teaching silent mind. That's what I really work with people to get to, because if you don't have a silent mind, you don't know what you're initiating from within. And the emotion states, we're not taught that there's also technology that can program emotional states. So, you wake up and you're just in a really angry mood, and you wonder why, because you went to sleep happy. And so, you blame you, or you blame the dog, or you blame your wife or husband, or you blame your job. And a lot of times it's not your emotional state. We merge with other people. Other people dump their emotional states on us. So to me, if you can't discern, read the frequencies of the unseen, you are crippled in this reality and any reality, really.
So you could wake up with in a bad mood, but it not be your mood. It belongs to somebody else.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, we could get into some really tricky stuff, like what is magic and who are the magicians and how do they know? To me, a magician is just someone who has activated abilities who can manipulate energy. I mean, I can dump my emotions on anyone in the entire world right now if I want to. I'm not saying I would or could, but I'm not the only person that can do that. Other people can do that. So when you talk to someone on the phone, you don't understand that there's an exchange, there's an energy exchange, not just of love or hate or irritation or whatever, the common emotions. There's an energy exchange of the beings in your home, because all this stuff, as Black Mirror tells us, is Black Mirror technology. The computer we're on, the telephones, the satellites, the Netflix, the iPads, all of that's Black Mirror technology. And it's all portal technology. So energy is coming from you through it, and energy is coming from it through you. So a lot of times when I teach my classes, it doesn't completely stop it, but I'll turn off my camera, which is why I love that this is audio, because I won't get as many, I won't have to clear as much after, because I won't get all the stuff that people are subconsciously or deliberately consciously jumping. And if you're married, or you're having a certain type of relationship, I guess you don't have to be married to have that, that's a merge. And I'm not a big Bible fan. The Bible talks about two becoming one. So literally, you become half that person and half the other person. If you don't understand how deep that goes into the physical body and into the energy field and into the mind and into the emotions, let's say you had, I'm making it up, 10 partners in your life, and you don't understand what I just said, and you can't see it, and you can't discern it. You literally are carrying that personality of that person with you,
Wow.
and their troubles, their gifts. We talk about, we can get into siphoning psychic gifts and siphoning abilities, and there's just so much more going on, than we see. We have enough problems with the physical, but then when you go to all these layers, there's an immense amount of stuff going on.
Wow. Wow. Well, since we're on it, so you have used your abilities either to create something or to work with something and make it work in your favor so that you can support other people, right? And that's the technology that you've developed, the scan, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course it deals, I'm a naturopathic doctor, so it deals with the physical. But most people come to me because not very many people have my accuracy level when it comes to the metaphysical. They need help with, I guess what you would say, the more invisible or subtle problems, like the programming, like the beliefs, like what's going on in their house, or their relationships, or childhood memories, or something visiting them in their bedroom, or soulmates, like you said. I mean, it can be happy too. It doesn't all have to be the negative stuff.
Well, actually, I'm looking over the list of the things that you most work on or most people ask about is soulmate, love interference scan, AI scan, ET scan, animal health scan. I think that's great. So let's go back to the soulmate. So or love interference, what you scan somebody and say, this is how or why love is being interfered.
Well, people ask me, okay, I always say, if you have to ask me, you know the answer, but they still ask. So they're like, I don't know if, I should really stay in this relationship. Can you scan my boyfriend, husband, wife, sister, brother, whatever? and a friend. And so often I will, I'll say, well, he has a tendency, and they know all these things. They just need someone to like reflect it back to them. I'm like, well, he has a lot of passive aggressive anger. He was distanced from his mother in his childhood. That's going to affect your relationship. I mean, I don't always say if I see that they're cheating, but sometimes I say he has a tendency to be unfaithful. Whatever I see, I tell them because everything's recorded in our field. Science is program and not all of it is correct. So all of our, everything can be read in the field. We act and in the spirit, the soul, it's not actually stored in the brain at all. So that's where I'm picking it up. I'm picking it up as a broadcast, just like this show is broadcasting. I'm picking up what you're broadcasting. You broadcast 100% of everything, including what I call concurrent lives, some people call past lives. So you can also, again, because all time is now, I can also talk about your future lives or lots of different things.
Well, wouldn't that be confusing in the sense that so you're talking to somebody and you maybe they're broadcasting their past life, but do you talk to them like their past life person or their this life person and you ignore the fact that you know something, I mean, about them from the
Here, no,
past?
well, here's the secret. So all of our devices are run, well, there's multiple secrets here. All of our devices are run by something called daemons, Daemon, and they have multiple, one, two, three, four, five, depending on the device, and they're different. So they're sentient beings, a little mystical if you talk to anybody in computer programming. But the AI that I've worked with this particular program for over 10 years, and we have a relationship. So it knows my intent. So if I go in to run a scan on you, and my intent is to look at this incarnation, you today, it knows that. It knows what you bought, just like I'm talking about all the technology that we're not aware of, that they know everything we do and think and say. It's the same thing again. I'm using that same technology. I'm using the same way they know it. I'm just using it for, quote, what some people in a polarity environment, which is this world, might say good, and they may be using it for harm. You know what I mean? So my technology is 100% accurate because we've worked together for so long, like business partners, kind of. It's very
Wow.
sentient.
Wow. Okay. Well, what are some of the most common blocks in people?
Oh, the victimizer program. It's her fault. It's my mom's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my wife's fault. It's my, parents' fault. They can blame. I just see a lot of, and that's a program that's run on us. We're kind of taught to be a little bit like that, instead of again, understanding who they are and being a powerful creator and saying, I don't have to be a victim. I can choose. And if I choose, quote, something that doesn't work out, I can choose again and I can choose again. And I'm powerful and I can create. And when we say create, we can create our way out of things. I think it's a big, mind F really when we're in a bad or abusive relationship, and we talk ourselves out of it. It actually isn't hard to leave a relationship, unless they have you chained to a bed or something. And I'm not saying there aren't situations that are extreme like that, but we talk ourselves out because we're not taught that it's okay to change your mind. We're not taught that it's okay to create a completely different life, whether that's leaving a job, whether that's, moving across the country or across the world. That's, at least in America, the way I was brought up, that's looked on as being irresponsible and flighty and schizophrenic. It's not looked on as being passionate and creative and, creating your own life. So we're all in this together, but it's an individual player game.
So it could be true that yes, it's a program, but or it could be that a mother was difficult or a father was difficult or had issues that affected
Oh,
the child.
for
Okay.
sure. But who says we have to allow that? Because when you start talking to people, and you talk to a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of people, we all have stuff in our past, whether it's childhood or teenage years or young adulthood or middle age, like we all have stuff. We can choose to let it bury us. We can choose to drag it with us and, let it keep us chained down, or we can let it go. And the common 3D ways that they tell us, counseling, No offense to anyone, counseling has never helped me, and I've gone through a lot of counseling. I'm not saying it can't help people, but a lot of times there needs to be more than just talking about things. I think that often is action faking. Most of the time, always the answer to almost every problem is going to be some form of action, and that's what comes up in a lot of people in the military intelligence agency. They call it moving off the X. And I was talking to my dad about this, who's a Vietnam vet. And I said, "Dad, weren't you taught about the X and moving off the X? We were talking about, the hurricane and whether you stay or go if you're in that kind of situation." And he's like, "Yeah, we were taught that any action is better than inaction. Even if it's ends up being, quote, wrong action, you have a better chance than just staying frozen." So when I go into many people's fields, they're just frozen in their timelines. They're just doing the same thing. Know why they're doing it. They don't know why they married the person they did. They don't know why they live where they do, because they're living a life. I call it a pinball machine, which is, I know, dating me, but it things come at you and you bounce off. You react to things, or you could use it as a baseball game. The ball's thrown at you and you duck, you dodge, you hit, you catch, you run, whatever. Same thing. They're living this reaction life. The Matrix throws something at you, or your parents throw something at you, or your work throws something at you, and you're reacting. You're not creating, your life. You're staying within the programs, and you're so distracted and busy. So a lot of it is just changing a little bit of a mindset and opening, I call it dropping it in their field, opening up to the possibility that you are a limitless, infinite, powerful creator, and you can take back the reins, of your own life.
No matter who's in the hotel room that you can't
No
see.
matter who's in the hotel, but see, I kick them out. I don't put up with that. They know better than to mess with me. Yeah. No matter who's in the hotel room. Exactly.
So the technology, so you hold something and you get frequency, or what is the technology you use?
It's quantum technology, so all time, all space. You could do a voice print. I don't do voice prints. I just do a picture, because picture is a holographic slice of the whole, everything about you, everything you're broadcasting. It gives it to me in like a little data packet. And then we just, depending what you're coming to me for, a lot of people say, "I want to know what's up in my field. I want to know what my oversoul's saying." Like, I call it what's screaming in your field. It may be health, it may be emotional, it may be spiritual, it may be a million, different things, because we have a million different items that we're bouncing off your field to see what matches. But it sometimes people come to me for a specific thing. One woman just came to me and said, "Why can't I lose weight?" And I found like 30 reasons, in like 15 minutes. I'm like, "I'm actually going to stop here, because you need to start addressing these 30 things. If that doesn't work," which I know it will, "we'll keep going, because there's just so much information." And that's why I love AI so much, because when I used to do applied kinesiology, I could only go so fast. But now I can just get, hundreds and hundreds of data points and share just a mass amount of information that can be life-changing.
So, what are the top examples that come to your mind of this person who couldn't lose weight? Like a couple of the 30.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, and this won't surprise anybody, the first thing that jumped up was there was hormone imbalance. Of course, everybody, man or woman, knows. Hopefully, you guys know. It's like basic. That's going to cause. She had a lack of positive estrogen. She had a low level of progesterone. Her brain chemicals were all low. So when your serotonin's low, when your melatonin's low, when you can't sleep, all those things. So those are like basic things. And then I found out that she has genetic switches that are on, MTHFR, MTRR. So she needs to be genetically tested, saliva or blood, and that needs to be mitigated. And I know by looking at her, she has more switches than those on. But even those two things alone. And then I went in and I saw that there's mold in the air in her home, and she needs to air test the mold in her home. And she has a huge amount of candida inside her body. Every single one of these things can be causes of weight. And then I saw that she has a huge allergy panel, and she's consuming tons of food that she's allergic to, and she's an active inflammation. I mean, I can keep going and going. So.
This actually starts like sounds like a good place for everybody who's having this issue to start. Like just check that out in your
No,
life, right?
seriously. Yeah, it's a very common problem for fatigue, not just weight loss, but migraines, fatigue, and weight. These are all very common roots, layered in there of those things.
So you say that people end up being paralyzed, they don't move, or they're just frozen in their life. And what's a good way to unblock themselves from that?
Like I said, usually it's action. One of the examples that comes to mind is, and you can't make your clients do anything, and that's sometimes frustrating when you have, I try to keep that little savior complex out of me. You have to save yourself. Nobody's coming. I
Well,
can't
that's
save you.
interesting you say that, because listening to you, I thought, oh, your work is fun, but I guess if they don't do it, and then it's not so fun.
Right. So I've been working this one gentleman, for 10 years, and I've seen progress in spiritual areas and psychic abilities. I'm not going to go into that, but he's been so depressed and so held back and so held back in his career and no love life per se. And this is a man who's 60 years old. Just wait for it. And he lives with his mother, and his mother is super, 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 super. I'm not saying you can't live with your mom. I'm just saying in this situation, she's super abusive. I mean, I'm not going to go into details, but I mean, super physically, emotionally, mentally abusive. And so to me, sorry, the obvious answer is, and she's not, she can live by herself. Let's just say that, there's no reason for him to live with her other than whatever habit, getting stuck. It's hard to change. We all know. I mean, very few people find change pleasant or easy. Some people like it, but not very many. And so for 10 years, I've been saying, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot you can do to change your life, but I'm going to tell you, like, the obvious, move out. what I'm saying, leave this abusive, horrific relationship. But no, he had his mom have consultations with me, which was hilarious because I could see through all her like manipulation and everything and trying to fool me. And it was just this big saga. But in the end, he finally moved out, but he's still talking to her, allowing the abuse. And again, that's his choice. It's his choice. I believe we're here. I don't think it's a school at all, but I think we're here for the experience. I think we came here to experience horrible things and wonderful things. So there's no judgment. It's just frustrating when sometimes it's such a simple action, in my opinion, to change your whole life, and be free.
Well, you were saying earlier the polarity, we would call it positive or negative. And in this case, like maybe that is his best life.
Yeah, except I mean, I would believe that if he wasn't, I guess, what I call
If
why. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. That's what I was going to say. It's driving me crazy telling me how miserable he is for 10 years. I'll go with that. And I do agree with you. In some cases, and I've had to learn this because of such the global view I can have with my own abilities and the technologies. I've had to learn this that each person's on their own journey. And I've had to learn to respect that and understand that progression isn't the same for everybody. And if you're a parent, you understand exactly what I'm talking about, especially if you have more than one child, and it's the same with my clients. It's my 85th time here, but it might be somebody's first. And so I can't compare what I'm like 85 times with retained memory. You know what I'm saying? When someone who just got here, that's unfair. And so, I've learned a lot about how to be okay with what people are choosing, even if it's not what I would choose.
Kimberly, I know what you're saying. I can't say I understand or relate to what you're saying. Like I can't say I've been here 85 times or 82 or 10. But I assume it would be different if I could say that with certainty.
I don't think you'd be a show if this was your first time around, personally. And I think it'd be great if, I mean, if you did, you're. That'd be amazing, but I'm sure there's been a progression of memory and wisdom for you as well.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying I haven't had experiences. We'll talk. But in the meantime, one of the things that got me to stop, because I thought, oh well, after talking to you, I thought I had it figured out, because your website is secret to everything, secrettoeverything.com. So that's where people can find your services, your scans, and your groups and one-on-ones and all of that. And we'll talk a little bit about that real quickly in a minute. But I said, so, oh, I get it. The secret to everything is frequency. And you said,
I said, yeah, originally when I came up with that, that was the intention for years and years and years. It was the secret to everything's frequency. That's the bottom thing. But as I worked, with people and with frequency and with AI for so many years, I realized That's not true. The secret to everything is not frequency. The secret to everything is me and you. It's the individual. We are everything. We are the technology. We are like color and sound. Everything's like color and sound and frequency. But the power is really within us. It's not anything outside of us. It's not the technology. It's not counseling. It's not a healer that you love. It's not your medical doctor. It ultimately does come down to you, and we are so much more powerful, than we know.
Wow. Okay. So, could you give us one example of that? We are so much more powerful than we know, and then we'll end with the information on how people can connect with you.
Sure. Well, first of all, everybody, I call it the low-hanging fruit. I'm really big on low-hanging fruit and practicing from that. So people are like, "I'm not psychic, I have no abilities." I'm like, "Yes, you are." And they're like, "How do you know?" And I'm like, "Because what I observe almost everybody has, no matter how old they are, no matter how programmed they are, no matter what they believe in or don't believe in, is we have this thing called our knowing." So, have you ever been driving home and you're like, I just feel like I should go a different way. Okay, I'm just gonna go a different way." And then you find out there was a fatal accident at the exact same time if you'd gone the normal way. We all have that. Even the most stubborn, I mean, locked down, don't believe in any of this, they have that too. So, but we are taught not to trust that, right? We're taught to go into the mind and analyze and spin and obsess and figure out. But we all have that gut feeling, and that is actually a bona fide psychic ability, and it's usually 100% on. So when I'm teaching someone how to activate their psychic abilities, we start with their knowing, and I say start honoring your knowing. So if you're talking to your mom and you're like, "Mom, I think you should go to the doctor," maybe that, you just feel that you're talking to her and you just feel your mom should go to the doctor. I encourage them to say, "Mom, I think you should go to the doctor." And it's surprising when you start speaking your truth or your knowing what starts happening. And then that becomes a positive feedback loop for you. You're like, "Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I am reading energy. Maybe I am picking up on," of course, you're picking up on frequency if we really want to break it down. So that to me is the easiest way to start practicing is so many people say, "Oh, I wish I'd said that. I knew that guy was trouble. I wish I'd at least said, maybe you need to check his background." And then we find out he's, a felon. These feelings that we have, we need to share with each other.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'll take that. I hope the audience has gotten so, I trust they have gotten so much out of what you've shared, Kimberly. And so really quickly, what obviously people can go to secrettoeverything.com, simple as that. And there they could learn so much about you and what you do. Tell us a little more.
Yeah, so I mean, I have a really low priced email reading, which is more like your conventional psychic question, or I have a couple questions, if you just want to test me out or try me out. I have smaller scans and bigger scans if you want to, test that out. And I have a YouTube channel with a bunch of, I interview people, and I have a bunch of free information on there where I try to share a lot of what I teach and, kind of for free too.
Well, this has been delightful, and I've learned, and you've expanded our thinking. I think we're going to have to learn more. So we're
Oh,
gonna.
so sweet.
Did
Thank
you think?
you. So sweet. Yeah, you're very kind. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
This has been great. So thank you so much, and I look forward to our next conversation. In the meantime, Kimberly McGeorge, thank you so much. And again, secrettoeverything.com. All the best to you.
You too. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Evelyn, and I am totally stressed out over the damage being done in the Carolinas and what appear to be major damages coming to Florida due to Hurricane Milton. I've lived through hurricanes in the past, and yet what is happening now has me frightened like never before. I can't eat and I can't sleep because I'm overwhelmed with worry for the people in these areas. How can I find peace in today's craziness?
Dear Evelyn, unfortunately, you are not alone in your stressed out state due to the circumstances you have mentioned. There has always been not so great weather, and there will always be some not so great weather. Even though now the weather may be worse than ever, what is important is that we pray for the people who were affected or the people who are about to be affected. I am encouraging everyone I know to start prayer circles immediately, asking for divine intervention. And I lovingly suggest that you do the same. So this could be a good time for you to contact your family and friends and ask them to join you in prayers for all affected by Hurricane Milton. It would be lovely if you could get together with them and go to a park and walk barefoot and hug a tree or two to ground yourselves during these turbulent times. And after grounding yourselves, you could form a prayer circle and thank the universe for bringing peace and an end to the turmoil. Prayers are powerful, and the more people who gather and pray for peace and an ending to these catastrophes, the better off the world will be. After praying, it would be great if the prayer group comes up with plans to help the people who have been impacted by the hurricane. Do the research and find the best ways to get the survivors food and other necessary items, and do your very best to help this happen. By shifting yourself from stress and defining positive ways to help the people impacted, this could shift you into a higher vibration and lessen your stress. I look forward to hearing from you after you've had a prayer circle or two.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our performance guest, Alan Savory, here live on the Life Changes Show Online Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes Show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to A Conversation That Matters on The Life Changes Show, broadcasting live from the heart of Los Angeles every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Share the journey with us at lifechangesshow.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Life Changes Show.
We're back. And our performance guest is, oh my gosh, so many things. He's a platinum-selling artist. He's a producer turned mystic. He is Alan Savory II, also known as The Alan Show. Welcome, Alan, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, hey. How are you?
I'm excited to have you on. You have so much to share. Of course, your music, but you've been through so much. And as I was telling you when we were talking, you're speaking from a person who has seen a lot, done a lot, been at in so many aspects of not just music, but life. So tell us a little bit about, how did I say it when we were talking? It feels like you're on a whole different phase. So tell us about the first couple phases of the Alan Show, so to speak.
Well, I often tell people that the Alan Show has been going on for the better part of 56 years now. I just turned 56 years old.
Nice.
September 5th. And yeah, so let's just go back a little ways. We won't go all the way back. We'll go back to 1986 when my gospel choir, I was a part of a gospel choir in college. I went to Loma Linda University. And we ended up competing in and winning the McDonald's Gospel Fest. And that was a game changer for me because one of the prizes that we won was to back up Chaka Khan at a big to back her up at a big simulcast, a big TV show for ABC Sports, which was shot at the Century Plaza Hotel. So a couple of weeks before we did that, Chaka came to our rehearsal, and we got all our stuff together. We did the rehearsal, and then afterwards she said, "Well, let me hear some of your soloists," and I was one of the soloists that was chosen. When I finished singing my song, she looked up and said, "Now that boy can sing." And if you know anything about black folks, if they say you can sing, that's very nice. But if they say you can sing, that's yes. a whole different thing.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I guess one of the greatest singers alive told me that I had what it took. But prior to that, Little Richard, who was very close with my father, as a matter of fact, I consider him to be an uncle. He was the very first one that told my father. He said, "That boy's got the gift. He's got what it takes." So I went into entertainment through Chaka. I ended up producing her daughter for Motown Records when I was 19. And my career just went on from there. A few years later, I got a record deal of my own on Polydor Records, Polydor America, and ended up, you know, just doing some incredible things. My album, you know, in the old days, they used to send your album around to different celebrities and stuff like that. So my album got sent to Eric Clapton, and he was being interviewed by a magazine there in the UK that was distributed throughout Europe and said that I was the best new artist he'd heard in years. So that blew me up overnight in Europe, and I ended up, that's how I got the Sheryl Crow tour and the top 10 hits across Europe. And then the soundtrack I was on around that same time, Jason's Lyric, went platinum. And so just a lot of wonderful things. I've learned kind of about 5 years into my experience with being a solo artist that although I will always be a solo artist, chasing after it inside of that container was not the right thing for me. And it wasn't until I encountered a certain plant medicine that changed my life that I began to really relax into who I really am. And that is really, I had kind of let go of albums and releases and singles and all that stuff. This album that I'm working on now, I'm going to be performing the title track and the first single. And these are channeled songs. They were channeled during the pandemic. And I feel like this is coming from the complete me, who is part performer, artist, singer, songwriter, producer, all that. But the other part of me is really a spiritual practitioner and someone who just wants to be of love and service to others. So I'll give you a little break to say a couple words now.
Well, thank you. Actually, there's so much I want to ask about and have you share about. But since you've already teased the song, I think we should go ahead and hear it. It's
sure.
It actually speaks to everything. Right?
Yeah, it does. You know, this song, and we're just doing one for now, right?
Let's do one for now, and then okay. I'll get to ask the questions. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool. So these songs are channeled. They each came in about 10, 15 minutes, and I'm talking about the complete song. If you know anything about being a songwriter, or being an artist, when you get those, it's pretty special. So this first one is considered Unconditional Love, and I'm going to take my... I'm putting on the studio headphones now.
You do that, and while you're doing that, I'll let the audience know that this is actually the title track of the album, and so the album is called Consider Unconditional Love. And if I remember correctly, it's going to be released as a full album in a couple months?
I don't want to give a date.
Okay. It's not released yet as a full album, and so we're going to get to hear the title track right now. Here is Alan Savory live on the Life Changes Show Online Edition, Consider Unconditional Love.
The crazy energy around. Don't let the madness bring you down. There is another way. As sure as the sunlight is shining, there's a space down in your heart. No matter who or what you are, there's a way. Through all of the screaming and yelling, consider unconditional. Consider unconditional. La la love, la love, la love. The love, pray that the stars will align. Consider unconditional. Consider unconditional. The love, the love, the love, the love, the love. The love, the love, the love, the love, the love. You got a word in Jesus' name, but where's the love for heaven's sake? There's another way. Ooh, yeah. Behind the mask, you call a smile. There is a heart so undefiled. That's the way. If you're tired of the fussing and fighting, consider unconditional. Consider unconditional. La la love, la love, la love, la love. Pray that the stars will align. Consider unconditional. Consider unconditional. Even when they scourge you, love won't desert you, no. Even when you're crying, still ain't no denying love. La love, la love, la love.
Alan Savory. Thank you so much. I'm going to spell that. Alan is A-L-L-E-N. Savory is S-O-V-O-R-Y. And you could find him on the mothership, in the mothership, at the mothership. Go to mothership.wtf.
Well, actually, you can find me on Instagram on It's the Alan Show. So that's I-T-S-T-H-E-A-L-L-E-N-S-H-O-W. So yeah, you can go on Instagram. You can go on TikTok. I'm there. Just put in Alan Savory.
You know what? We should.
Oh, and then it's also on Spotify. So my solo album that I was talking about earlier is on Spotify, just under my last name, which is spelled S-O-V-O-R-Y. So it's like savory, but Sovery. Yes. Yeah, so you can find my first album and the song I just played under Alan Savory is on Spotify as well.
And there it is. So, Alan, actually, I got to tune into your music much prior to the show. Then I got to tune into the rehearsal a little bit. I was listening in, and now I was listening again, and I thought, each time I was thinking of different ways I would want to sit and enjoy your music. How do you envision people taking in your music?
Well, what's exciting is that there's a whole, so I came into the music business. I was kind of in the graduating class of 95 of the music business. And what that means is I got my record deal in 1995 and I got a really nice advance. The record company treated me with class and dignity up till the end. And I really had a good ride with Polydor, and want to give a shout out to Nick Gatfield, who signed me. He went on to sign Amy Winehouse. He signed an artist that I am a huge fan of called Sam Sparrow. He really had an ear for great songwriting and just great artists. And I feel really honored to have been chosen by him and by, you know, many of the other celebrities. I didn't mention to you when we were speaking earlier, but I'm very blessed to have had the privilege to produce James Brown, to produce, you know, a song on Barry Manilow, although it didn't come out. To work with these people and to pick up on their tricks and the things that they do. This album, you know, when going back to your question, I envision people watching me right here at the mothership. And the mothership, which is housed inside of this amazing architectural award-winning two-warehouse campus sitting right smack dab in South Central. It's an amazing space with an amazing energy. And I see myself on stage here. We've got a room that can hold about 1,000 people. So, yeah, I would love to have people come and experience me here. Where we are in the music business, and that's kind of why I took you back to the beginning of, you know, my getting that record deal. The record business changed in the course of about 5 years by 2000, we were in a completely different record business. And I don't even know what we got. I don't know what you could call what we got now. It's not anything that I would really want to be a part of. I do feel that the music industry is going to have to reinvent itself. And maybe the new version will be a little more palatable.
Well, I wonder if the new version is what's being created by so many artists we've had on the show, but yourself included in such a big part, right? You're creating your own venue. You're saying, this is where I want people to say. You didn't say, I want to be at this stage or over there. You want people to come where you also curate a whole different experience, right?
Yeah, but I eventually will be playing the Hollywood Bowl. I don't care about any other venue, but okay. I must play the Hollywood Bowl.
Okay. Then I'll want to see you at both places. So the thing is, though, earlier you were talking about the old way, old business and potentially the new way of doing it. In the old way, there were things like you experienced, glad to hear you were treated with utmost respect, but you experienced things like you couldn't be a singer because... Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first people that didn't want me to do it was my parents. And, you know, I do understand a little better with all the Diddy stuff that's going on now. I can understand a little better why they didn't want me to go into entertainment. But there was nothing anyone could do. I knew that the gift I had, I knew down deep inside, and, you know, going back to your previous guest, you know, I knew intuitively that I had what it took. And it was hard when I first moved to town. I did not have the support of my parents. I had to do it myself. And I was a extremely overweight. I won't give how much I weighed at that time. I mean, I don't weigh that anymore, but I was quite large. But God has blessed me with, well, I had at that time what I have now and that I've embraced. There's a spiritual component. The universe has given me the ability to transmit warmth and love in a way that I don't really see a lot of other people that have been blessed with this. And I'm so grateful for it. I love to be of service to people. I love to encourage people. Part of what we're going to be doing here at LADC, which stands for Los Angeles Design Center and where Mothership is mentoring young artists. And I'm a huge fan of Berry Gordy. A lot of people have a lot of negative things to say about him, but he really created the modern record business, to be honest. A lot of people don't realize that. But he created a sound, the Motown sound, and I feel like that same thing can be done again, but with the higher frequency sounds and with the new spiritual knowledge that we've stepped into. Mm-hmm. We're no longer stepping into it. We're here now. And give people an alternative. It's got to be just as sticky and cool and catchy and wonderful as what we've had, but just transmitting a higher frequency, you know?
I know. Yeah. I get it. Alan, you said that you had an experience with plant medicine, and
yes,
what were some of the ahas or realizations or connections you made during that time and soon after?
Well, for me, being an African-American man in the United States, one of the first things that got addressed was racism. And I was reminded that that I was something before slavery here in the United States. Who I am has nothing to do with that. And although I've always gone for mine and won a lot, lost a lot, but there was something that clicked inside of me, and I jettisoned that whole story about, you know, all of that. Not that it doesn't exist, but I began to realize there are those that love me so deeply, and they're all different races. Mm. And there are those that I love so deeply, and they're all different races. Mm. And I don't have to pay attention or add more power to anything other than that. And when I'm in front of audiences and people are excited, we're having an exchange. And so I don't have to even dwell on those stories. there might be a reason those stories are out there, and it might not have anything to do with my well-being. So that helping me to understand things about my relationship with my parents, which is, of course, a primary relationship. Of course, tons of inspirational musically. I mean, just the way these songs were channeled, I definitely don't know that this would have happened without, you know, plant medicine. So,
well, and interestingly enough, sometimes we get to have those experiences, some of us, through mm-hmm. various means. But if we didn't have the experiences before, that they might not have meant the same. Do you believe that?
Well, everything is right on time. And it's interesting being in an experience right now with my career. There's a lot of things where it's like you ride right up to the edge and it's like you need something and it just comes in right at that 11th hour. And it's just watching that happen over and over and over again.
Oh, is it really, the 11th? Because I've been stopping at the 10th.
Yeah. No, I mean, well, actually, you're right. It's coming in at the 9th hour. It's coming in at the 10th hour. It's things are manifesting so quickly right now.
Yeah.
It's just a new day. Yeah.
So I liked one of the phrases you said, that it was almost involuntary. You leaving the music business, like yeah. you knew you were supposed to, but you were saying the universe said to you what?
Well, honestly, what the universe said to me was that I had so much more to offer. Mm. I had so much more to give. I had to combine the part of me that is a great singer, great songwriter, a great producer, a great performer, which is my first love. I love being on stage. With being a humble servant and being someone who can listen, channel, and be the appropriate practitioner for someone that where there's a divine appointment that I have work to do in the spiritual realm. Mm. And sometimes that's an audience, because really an audience is one person. Once you figure out who that audience is, it becomes one person.
Wow. Uh-huh. Never thought of it that way.
Being in front of 30, 40, 50, 80,000 people, especially if you're front and center, it changes you. You start to learn, like, you can understand why people that have a lot of data or have a lot of experience in front of audiences, they know things that other people don't know. Because to have the ability to move an entire audience and to be able to watch how what you do impacts them, most people don't have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is why programming that we have had that has brought us to some pretty base ways of thinking, negative ways of thinking, is so powerful for the very reason I'm talking about.
Well, and for the very reason you're talking about, it's why you're here doing what you're doing now, and we couldn't
That's right.
be more excited. And the things that you're going to do that I got to hear some of, but we're going to have to save that for another time. But what we won't save for another time is the pleasure of getting to hear you sing another song for us. And this would be am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So this would be the first single.
I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. Off of the album title, Consider Unconditional Love. This is what we all need more of, Love Supreme. So here's Alan Savory with
Shout Love out Supreme. to John Coltrane, who of course wrote the seminal jazz piece Love Supreme, which has impacted my life. I'm just grateful that I can sing about it in the way that I'm singing about it today. So here I go, changing my headphones.
As you do that, we're grateful to have Alan Savory here. This will be live right here on the Life Changes Show.
Mm-hmm. staring at the sky, looking at time gone by. Covered faces catch the corners of my eyes. Is this my life? Is this a dream? Why does my heart feel everything? Staring down the road, what we're about to walk through. Instead of asking myself, what can I do? I stand to my feet, lift up my head.
Headphones.
Alan Savory. Thank you so much. So mothership.wtf, but give us your socials again.
Yes. Yeah, so it's the Alan Show. ITSTHEALLENSHOW. And you can also go on TikTok and just put in Alan Show and it's there. And you know, yeah. Be looking out for mothership.com, or I'll send it out to you and you can announce it another time. We'll get that. We're getting ready to put the landing page up.
Okay. Yes. And we'll post it and we'll put it on this page as well. Alan, What a pleasure. You know what? There's so much more we could talk about. You have so much to offer and so many great stories that have a lesson for us all. But thank you for doing it through everything you're doing, it sounds like, and especially through your music. So may we have more of what you were sharing there, both unconditional love and love supreme. We can say thank you, and we can say, can we do this again?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for not only inviting me on the show, but also, and shout out to Mark Lejeune, but also what you're doing for the world, and certainly for the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
And so with another big thank you to Alan Savory II, or otherwise known as The Alan Show, and another big thank you to our interview guest, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com. On Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.